You open your Bibles to Romans, the fifth chapter. We're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 5 this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thousands of people visit each year this place called the Winchester Mansion. And if you've never heard of it, it's in San Jose, California. And this massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. And for 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, this building was under constant construction. And she spent the equivalent of today's dollars in building this, about $70 million. And one time she was asked, as people were trying to figure out, why are you doing this? Why don't you stop the construction? And why are you building it the way that you are? But because there would be stairs that lead to nowhere and run straight into a wall. There would be doors that would open up, and on the other side would be a wall. And it was a strange, unique structure. And people began to speculate, what is wrong with her? Like, why is she doing this? And some people felt like she was afraid of that the house was haunted, going to be haunted by all the people who had been killed by the guns that her family had made. And the only way to stave it off was to keep building. Other people speculated that she just wrestled with this longing to find peace and perfection in it, and she never could, and so she kept building and building and building on a desperate, desperate search for peace. And I think many people today do that. We might not have $70 million. We might not have a mansion. But people today invest in equally fruitless ways of finding peace. Some turn to pleasure. Others turn to drugs or alcohol. Some turn to immorality. Some turn to status and their careers and try and accumulate power. All in the hopes of having peace. And the problem is that will never lead you to peace. In fact, the more diligently you pursue peace in the extrinsic world, the less peace you will find. If your pursuit is money, you will never have enough. If your vice is pleasure, you will never be fulfilled. Whatever the appetite is, if you long for power, you'll never have the complete and total control that you long for, that you're looking for. And I don't know about you, but I find it good news that the Apostle Paul says there's another kind of peace. And in fact, this kind of peace is the actual peace that you're looking for. And nothing in this world will lead you to that peace. So if you're here this morning and you're missing that in your life, Paul says, I have the solution for you. And that solution is with peace in God. And we're going to look at what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we find it? How do we experience it? And how do we move from a place where the illustration I used in the children's sermon, where the waves are bouncing all around you, maybe that's how your life feels right now. Maybe you feel like you every time, if you've been to the beach recently, like those waves that keep smacking into you and knocking you back down, you feel like no matter how hard you try, you can't just make it over the breaking point of all those waves and get to the calm and still waters. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. And Paul says, I've got something for you. And so let's hear what he has to say as we look at, there are 4 points that we're going to draw out of this passage. And the first one is this. When Christ makes you right with God, there's a profound calm upon your spirit when you think of him. When Christ makes you right with God, there is a profound calm upon your spirit. And we have to begin by asking, do you have that kind of peace? Do you have that kind of calm? Listen to Paul's words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Are you at peace with God this morning? Have you learned what it means to be still in his presence? Have you learned what it means to be able, no matter what's going on around you, to have that holy confidence that comes from knowing that God is God and that he has you? He has you even in the midst of difficulty. Do you have that type of assurance? People spend their entire lives searching for it. I can remember living in, and when I was in high school, I thought, well, when I get to college, then I'll get to where I need to be and I'll have a more peaceful life. Or when I have a career. And I was always looking for the next thing that would get me to the place that were the still waters. And I longed for that and I wanted that. And then what God showed me is still waters has nothing to do with your situation and everything to do with your relationship with him. And so do you know where you're searching for peace this morning? What are you looking to fill that void? And I would tell you this morning that if it isn't Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're always going to come up short. Because you might find peace for an instant, but you'll never find it for a lifetime. Maybe you look for it in a relationship, but what happens when you have an argument? Maybe you look for it in a job, but what happens if you get a new boss? Maybe you look for it in your home, but what happens if your home's not going the way that you would like for it to? And Paul says, no, there's a different kind of peace. There's a peace that comes from being made right with God where a profound calm comes over your spirit. You see, there are a number of things that happen in a person who has been reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The first thing is this, you are no longer afraid of God. I used to be afraid of God. Has anybody else been there? Afraid to talk to him? Afraid that he was going to judge you? Afraid that you couldn't measure up? Afraid that he might have a plan for your life that you didn't want for your life? And so that fear, well, let me tell you, when you've been made right with him, that fear leaves. You don't have to be afraid to have a long conversation with him. You don't have to be afraid to humble yourself before him. You can even trust him enough to say, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever your plan is for my life, Lord, I will do it. The missionary that we heard come and speak on Sunday night, he was pastor of a church of about 800 people that started with about 60. And he said, I'm going to Spain and I'm going to France because God told me to. That's faith, isn't it? He could have stayed where he was the rest of his life. That's faith. Faith in action. He wasn't afraid of what God had. Neither was his wife, by the way, who was the associate pastor. The second thing that happens to you is when you've been made right with God is you trust that your sins have been dealt with. Do you trust that this morning? That your sin, that the wrongs that you have done in your life, the wrongs you're going to continue to do, the wrong you're going to do next week, next year, next decade, Lord willing, have all been dealt with in Christ. That you were taken care of. That you don't have to wonder If maybe you've messed up one too many times, Jesus says, no, you haven't. You're covered by my righteousness. It's not on your base, the basis of your righteousness and your ability to do right that you stand before the Lord. It's all about Christ. And that leads us to the third thing. You are no longer overwhelmed under conviction. That doesn't mean conviction is pleasant. But when you know that you are right with God, when you know that you've been justified, when you know that the penalty has been paid, and that you are reconciled to God, even when the Lord points out a sin in your life, you don't have to throw in the towel, you don't have to run away from Him, you don't have to hide. Instead of being overwhelmed, you can say, Lord, let's deal with this. Show me how. Change this old heart of mine. Help me to be that man or that woman that you're calling me to be. Instead of being overwhelmed by what you're calling me to do, I'm going to embrace it because you're the one doing the calling. Peace starts with your relationship with God. And if you look elsewhere, when you look elsewhere, we get ourselves into all types of trouble. Peace and hope, Paul talks about in this passage. How many of us this morning need that peace and hope? How many of us just need to hear, it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. That leads us to our second thought. In order to enjoy peace and hope that you've been granted, you must persist in God's grace. In order to enjoy this peace and hope that comes from being reconciled to God, that comes from being made right with Him, you must persist in God's grace. Listen to these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. In other words, in which we stay there. In other words, we begin in faith, we stay in faith, and we dwell in faith, and in the future we're going to be in faith. We're going to persist there. We're going to stand in that place where it's all God's grace coming to us. And it's not based upon our merits. It's not based upon what I, Kenny Butcher, can do or what Michael Stewart can do or anybody else in this sanctuary. It's not what we can do. It's what God can do. And we stand in that grace and we persist in that grace. How many times, if you're anything like me, have you ever done this? You have moments in your life where you truly depended upon the Lord. Where even when it seemed impossible, you trusted Him. And He saw you through things that you didn't even know you could make it through. And then the very next minute, maybe a day later, maybe a week later, you started trusting in yourself again. You started trying to accomplish things apart from the Lord again. You started trying to live your life on your own terms. Why do we do that? Why don't we stand in that grace? Why don't we stand in that faith? Why don't we be still and know that God is God? What is it within us that makes us, even after seeing all that God's done, the next time go back to trusting in ourselves? How many miracles do we have to see in our lives before our first resort is God and not our last? One? 2, 10, 20. Think about the Israelites as they left captivity. What did they see? They saw the plagues. They saw them spared from the death of the firstborn. They saw the sea parted. They were able to get through and then closed in on their enemies. And what did they do in the desert? They doubted. They built a golden calf to worship. Now we shake our heads at that, and we think that's just crazy. If I had seen what they had seen, there's no way I would have done that. God's sitting there saying, you do it all the time, Kenny. You do it every time you don't trust me. You do it every time you rely on your own efforts instead of resting in my grace, instead of trusting me. You see, every believer must fight the temptation to drift away from the grace that they have been given. And that is because even though we enjoy that grace, a part of us desires to regain control. That fleshly nature, as Paul calls it, desires. It is at war with the Spirit. Always trying. Always vying for control. And we fall into that trap all the time. And so before we judge the people in the Bible who do it too harshly, we need to maybe take some time and ask the Lord, do I do that? Am I doing it now? Maybe you're here in this sanctuary this morning and you know that in the past you have trusted God completely, but right at this moment you've got things going on in your life and you're not trusting Him at all. And God says, persist in my grace. Stay there. Stand there. Trust that the one who began a good work in you will see it all the way to completion. We're not called to begin in faith and then end in works. We're not called to begin in Christ and end relying on ourselves. Stand in the grace that you have been given. That leads us to our third thought. When you rely on peace and hope born of God, you discover that even life's challenges add value to you. When you rely on that peace and that hope born of God, you discover that even life's challenges add value to you. Look at verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. What strange words to have before us. You know, when I suffer, glorifying in that suffering is hard to do. And I don't relish and get excited about suffering. I don't know about anybody else. When I slammed the car door on my finger and broke my finger, I didn't say, glory to the Lord! I'm so glad I broke my finger and my fingernail's going to fall off and my finger's going to look weird for like the next year. That wasn't my expression. I don't want to tell you my real expression. No one was around, so nobody knows. But I guarantee you, praising the Lord wasn't it. And I thought, well, Lord, you control the wind. Or did I just hit it with my elbow? I don't know. Very well could have. But even the challenges can add value to our lives if we approach those challenges right. I once heard a preacher say something, and it stuck with me to this day. He said, when you have trials and tribulation in your life, God is always looking to leverage those for your good. He is always looking to use them to build you up and draw you closer to Him. And the enemy is always looking to leverage them for your downfall and defeat. And then he asked, who are you going to allow to operate in your heart? Who are you going to allow to operate in your mind? The enemy? That's full of lies and deceit and wants nothing more than to devour you, or the Holy Spirit, who wants nothing more than to build you up. You see, when we face one of life's difficult situations, our natural reaction is to wonder, what have I done wrong to deserve this? Anybody ever asked that question? Anybody ever felt like that? It reminds me of the disciples standing with Jesus, and they see somebody who has been sick since birth. And they go, who sinned? Was it his mom or his dad to make him like that? And Jesus said, no, you don't get it at all. He's here for this moment so that God may be glorified. So the better question to ask is, what can I do right to endure this? Not what did I do wrong to deserve this, but what can I do right to endure this as I endure this? How can I follow Christ in it? How can I be Christ-like in it? How can I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit even in the midst of my trial, my tribulation? When I feel like throwing in the towel, how can I say instead of throwing in the towel, I'm going to cast my lot with Jesus Christ? And I'm going to trust that the one who led me here will guide me through it. Do you trust him to do that this morning? And that leads us to our last thought. When you struggle to find peace and hope born of God, look toward the Spirit's ongoing changes to your heart. When you're struggling, look toward the Holy Spirit's ongoing changes to your heart. That last verse, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Has he been given to you? Do you feel that love that's in your heart? Do you long for that? You see, instead of only focusing your efforts in getting God to change a situation, what would happen if you took time to discover God's purpose in it? That means instead of trying to fix everything, you trust God. You trust Him. How many of us have struggled and wondered how we can trust God when we look at our lives and we see all that's going wrong in it. And God says, look at what I've done in your life. Look at what I've done in your life. And trust that I have stopped, that I'm continuing on, that I will continue on. If you're struggling in your home, believe that Christ can be in that. If you're struggling at your work, believe that Christ can be in that. Ask Him where He's going to work. Look for what He wants to reveal. Our temptation is to try and fix everything. And God says, stop trying to fix everything and try and be God. And ask Him what I want to do. Ask Him how I'm going to work. Let me know that you're willing to follow me. Are you willing to this morning? Are you willing to trust that Jesus Christ has a plan for your life? Or are you going to keep trying to, even though you started in grace, end in works? Even though you were saved in grace, now you're saved on yourself. Jesus says, look at what the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart. Look at the way He's ready to change your life. Do you trust Him to do it? Will you obey? Will you follow Him? When I face trials and tribulations, one of the first questions I ask is not why is this happening to me, but I am human and I do ask that. But I resist the temptation to try and fix it. The first thing I do is I cease striving, and I know that God is God. The second thing that I do is I say, God, what are you trying to teach me in this moment? What do I need to learn? Because let me tell you, I've got a lot to learn. And the second we don't believe that, we're going to fall on our faces. Pride comes before the fall. Isn't that what we're told? So do we believe that? What truth is God trying to reveal? What plan is God?
Peace has everything to do with how your relationship with God is going to be.